Some 82. A short psalm, and quite an unusual psalm in many ways. God is addressing the gods. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods, and then he addresses them. And then in verse 6, I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. God, presiding in the great assembly, giving his judgment among the gods. God, addressing the gods. What is this about? We see here, first of all, the uniqueness, the greatness, the sovereignty, the glory, the oneness, the onlyness of the great and true and living God, the God of Israel. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. There are no other gods. There are no other rulers, potentates, powers. Oh, there are rulers, powers, and potentates, but they are subservient to God. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. Rise up, O God. Judge the earth. For all the nations are your inheritance. That's how Asaph finishes. God is alone, triumphant, the one true and living God. Well, where does that put Allah and Muhammad and Confucius and Hindus and gurus and all their other gods and deities and so on? Where does it put them? Where they should be. They are no gods at all. God alone. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Israel. God presides in the great assembly. Well, that's not politically correct. It may not be. But I don't offer myself as a politically correct commentator. I offer myself just giving thoughts on the Psalms here. As a preacher, as a writer, and I declare this, that God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, is the one true and only God. God presides in the great assembly. And here, he is giving his judgment among the gods. He is giving his declaration to the gods. I said, you are gods. Who are these gods? Well, I think there are two possibilities. One, he is addressing the prophets, the rulers in Israel, through the prophecies that they give. I said, you are gods. You rule in Israel by the prophecy. I think also he's referring to the political leaders, the authorities in the judges, and the magistrates, the rulers in Israel. The authorities, the bigwigs, the powers that be. And God gives judgment among the gods. And he takes them to task. What for? Because they have defended the unjust. They've shown partiality to the wicked. And they have not defended the cause of the weak and the fatherless. They have not maintained the rights of the poor and the oppressed. They have not rescued the weak and needy. They have not delivered them from the hand of the wicked. And so these judges, these gods, are ignorant, they know nothing, they understand nothing, they walk about in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said you are gods, you are all sons of the Most High, you have this authority, but you will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler. What should they do? They should not defend the unjust. They should not show partiality to the wicked. God hates that. He wants the innocent set free and acquitted. And he wants the guilty found guilty. So he calls these judges, these rulers, these prophets, these political magistrates to defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless, to maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed, and so on. Now what should we make of that? Well, if we take the Reformed view and that the Bible is a flat book, all saying equal things throughout, then we can get into terrible disorder here. We'll end up with salvation by works. If we do our best to defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless, God will be pleased with us and so on. But we must remember that Asaph is writing solidly in the days of the Old Covenant. And we must read and interpret this passage in the light of the New Covenant, the coming of Christ and the bestowal of the Spirit, the full revelation of the Gospel. What should we make of it? What will I make of it now? Well, I will have a word from this passage to the authorities that be, the political powers. I won't have much of a word for them, but I will have one, and it's this, that they should do the right thing. They should get their fingers out of what they are not supposed to be doing, but they are the ministers of God in this sense. God has raised them up that we might live quiet and peaceable lives, and they should take Psalm 82 on board and bring in laws and pass judgments that are in conformity with the right here set out in Psalm 82. I won't say much to the rulers of this world. The New Testament doesn't. But I know that they're there in the power and hand of God, and they should dispense their duties, keeping their hands, I say, out of what does not concern them, but making sure that they do fulfill what they should be doing to let us live peaceably and quietly in our days. But the word here I will take to the New Covenant is for those of us who are responsible as teachers and rulers and governors in the assemblies of God in the ecclesia, those of us who preach and teach and write and try to administer the gospel, as it were, and speak the gospel. The Old Covenant, they had to carry out the Old Covenant rules and terms and conditions and laws. Of course they did. What must we do in the New Covenant? Well, let's read our New Testament, the letters particularly. Let us read the letters to Timothy and to Titus. Let us read Acts chapter 20. Let us read the whole of these passages. What do we see? We must preach the gospel. We must discipline in the churches. We must be spiritually minded. We must be obedient to Christ. We must put down error and establish truth by the gospel, not with the power of the sword, not with laws, but with the preaching of Christ by the Spirit. We should carry out the New Covenant principles. And of course, it's not just true for the elders and rulers in the assemblies of God's people. It's true for all of us as believers. I speak to you, my friend, as a believer. We should obey the New Covenant. We should obey the principles of the gospel. We should be men and women of the gospel, not the law. We should be men and women preaching Christ, not works and sacraments. We shouldn't be going after Christendom. We should be going for Christ and the gospel and scripture. That's what I see in Psalm 82. We must remember that we're accountable to God. In those days, Asaph, in the name of God, said, "You will all die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler. You're accountable. You're men." Well, in the days of the New Covenant, I say to myself, and I say to you, my brother and sister, we're sinners. I'm a sinner. You are. We're feeble, weak, and poor, but we are answerable to God. And let us therefore arise and do our duty, yes, and carry out our privileges in the New Covenant. God is still the sovereign God. He has given us his word. He has given us his Christ. He has given us his Spirit. May we live for him. I urge you to do so. May we work for him. May we speak for him. May the churches yet again be brought back to the ways of the New Testament, the New Covenant. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. And even now, my friend, he is watching us. He is watching you and watching me. What I say, do, and think, and the same for you. May we live today and speak today as those answerable to him, those empowered by him to live and speak and think for his glory. There are sinners dying. May we preach Christ and the gospel to them, so that we will truly rescue the weak and the needy and deliver them from the hand of the wicked. How is that? By preaching them to Christ and preaching Christ to them. And may the Spirit use our words to bring multitudes of sinners. Lord, descend and make 1,000 hearts thine own. May the Lord use our words to bring thousands of sinners to himself. May he be glorified. May we learn from Psalm 82.